want to thank you guys for the opportunity to preach yet again. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's always a pleasure to be in this pulpit to teach. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to start at the end of the chapter, in verse 43. Through the end of the chapter. Again, Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Precious Father, we lift our hearts to you tonight. We pray that you would send your Spirit upon each of us, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would give us a mind to understand your word. I pray, Father, that you would send your word out boldly and mightily. In all that we do, we pray that it be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. April 19th, 2015, at 10:45 p.m. in Lexington, Kentucky, police found a young man stabbed to death in the breezeway at Walnut Hill Apartments. He died of a large wound in the front of his neck. The young man, 22, Salahuddin Jitmud, was delivering a pizza to the location, and it was reported that a few men stabbed Salahuddin to death, took his wallet containing $90, the pizza that he was delivering, as well as the bag that the pizza was delivered in. After much time and long investigation, the police determined that Trey Relford, 24, was the one that orchestrated the attack on Salahuddin. It was ultimately his phone that made the call to Pizza Hut, even though he used an app to try to change his caller ID to display. And it was his knife that was used in the murder. There were two other men that were implicated, but there was not enough evidence to prove that they were with him at the time of the murder, so the grand jury dismissed charges. On August 29th, 2019, Mr. Relford entered a conditional guilty plea in Fayette Circuit Court to the charge of complicity to murder, first-degree robbery, and tampering with physical evidence. Following the Commonwealth's recommendation, the trial court sentenced Mr. Relford to 31 years of imprisonment. At the trial, Salahuddin's father was present. His mother had died 2 years prior. Salahuddin's father, I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly, Abdul Munim Sambat Jitmud, made a compelling victim statement to the convicted murderer of his son, to this murderer. His statement to Trey Relford was this: son, nephew, I forgive you on behalf of Salahuddin and his mother. My dear nephew Trey, I don't blame you for the crime you have committed. I am not angry at you for being part of hurting my son. I am angry at the devil. I blame the devil who has guided you and misled you to do such a horrible crime. I really feel sorry for your parents. They raised you and they want you to be successful. Your success is their success. Your happiness is their happiness. Now they have to cry because of the crime that you have committed. Forgiveness is the greatest gift or charity in Islam. I have to pour myself out to forgive someone that has wronged our family. Trey Relford then apologized to the Jitmud family, saying, there's not much I can really say. I'm sorry about what happened that day. I cannot do nothing to give that back to you. Mr. Relford then walked over to Mr. Jitmud to shake his hand after the apology. Mr. Jitmu then pulled the young man into an embrace. He hugged him. He hugged him for quite a while. All that could be heard in the courtroom were sobs and crying from the family. During the hug, Mr. Jitmu was heard whispering to Trey. He said, "The door of opportunity for God to forgive you is open. So reach out to Him. You have a new chapter of a good life coming." Now, I don't know about you, but I would think that I would have more than just a little bit of trouble doing that in a courtroom to the man who murdered my son. It would be hard for me to do that to someone in any situation whatsoever. Yet this man, who's not even a Christian, understands the power of forgiveness. In our text, Jesus is giving us a command to forgive them, which despitefully uses. Which is the title of my message tonight. Forgive them. Tonight I want to talk about what true forgiveness is and why it is important to forgive. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines forgiveness as such, has four parts. Part number one, the act of forgiving, the pardon of an offender by which he is considered and treated as not guilty. The forgiveness of enemies is a Christian duty. I love Webster's 1828. It's always focused around the Christian. Number two, the pardon or remission of an offensive crime as the forgiveness of sin or injuries. Number three, disposition to pardon, a willingness to forgive. A mild forgiveness intercede to stop the coming blow. In other words, you're about to get mad and throw a blow, but you don't. And part number four is remission of a debt, a fine or a penalty. I want to focus on the first portion of this definition that Webster stated, the act of forgiving. To be forgiving is a godly trait. No man on earth has the ability or the compulsion to want to forgive anybody. We prefer the other side of the coin. We prefer the vengeance. That's what we want. But we tend to forget what Paul wrote in Romans 12:19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We want to get even. We want to get back at those who have wronged us in the least little bit. But yet here you have a man that had his oldest son taken from him in a senseless, terrible, stupid crime. It was said that they had actually tried to trap three or four different pizza delivery guys, and this guy was the only one who would even deliver to this complex. And he forgave that man. It was the most touching thing that I have seen online in quite a while. If you have the time, I really suggest that you go watch it. That's why I'm so teary-eyed, because all I can think of is that video. But men naturally tend to want to get even with the ones that we have issues with. And it's always an escalating fight, right? Think about between two neighbors. Well, he cut down my bush, so I cut down his tree. He broke my fence, so I broke down his wheelbarrow. He slashed my tire, so I poured gasoline on there and killed his grass. Up and up and up and higher and higher. The arguments and issues go up until eventually the two of you consider each other mortal enemies. And you never have anything but bitterness in your heart towards that person. You think about neighbors, two people that live next to each other. That's the worst case scenario that you could ever have, is that you keep escalating and escalating and escalating. "He did this to me, so I'm going to do that." "Well, then he did this to me." "Well, he did that because you did what you did before. You didn't help matters." Right? "He cut down your bush, so you cut down a tree." What if his father planted that tree? What if there was some sentimental something attached to that tree? He's going to be bitter to you for the rest of his life. True forgiveness is the ability to take a person that has completely used you in a wrong way and love them no matter what. Not continue to let them do the things that they do to you. You got to move out of the way of the storm so that you don't continue to get hurt. However, you get to treat that person as if they have done nothing wrong, as if the offense never happened. That's true forgiveness. True forgiveness is a gift from the Lord, something that only He can give you. We know that the natural man doesn't really have the capacity for this type of forgiveness. We just don't. It takes a holy God to put that in your heart. We don't have that ability. True forgiveness is forgiving others as God has forgiven us. It means that we determine to do good to them rather than evil. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Forgive me, I'm using a different Bible tonight. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. Paul says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place under wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." I talked about the vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. This is just the connection to that passage. This is what he says. So how on earth, how in the world are we, incapable human beings, to do this? How are we able to give this kind of forgiveness? How are we to forgive and not hold a grudge? How are we able to work with people that have they've done us so wrong? Honestly, you can't. You cannot of yourself build up this type of forgiveness for anyone in your own heart. You can't do it. God must give you the ability to forgive. Obviously, God is talking to this church. Brother Justin taught Wednesday evening on forgiveness, and that sparked in my mind this sermon. And then this morning, Bryant came this morning, and he was on forgiveness. So the last three times we've been talking about forgiveness. Obviously, the Lord is trying to tell us that this church needs to come together and forgive. But once you decide that holding what you have held in your heart for all this time that needs to be let go and gone, you need to work at forgiving the person that has wronged you. You have to work at it. This isn't something that you just do and it's over. This is a continual thing. Because remember, we've got memories, right? And we don't let memories go, especially when it's a bad one. Especially when it's a memory of somebody doing you wrong. You don't let go of that kind of memory easily. As a matter of fact, you don't ever let it go. There are 2 zillion books and about twice as many web pages that are dedicated to giving you advice on how to forgive. I know because I looked them all up. Didn't read any of them, but I looked at them anyway. The 214 steps to forgiveness. The 13 things you need to forgive a person that has wronged you. Just to name a couple. I just grabbed a couple of them off of the webpage. There is plenty of things out there for you to read. 90% of it is probably garbage. However, there are easy ways to start the action of forgiveness, to start the process in your heart of forgiveness. And keep in mind, forgiveness is for your health and for your well-being, right? Forgiveness is not necessarily for the other person. It's not necessarily for the other person that you forgive. It's more for you. You're the one that's really hurting. Forgiveness isn't necessarily for that other person. However, most people probably don't even care about getting forgiven about something that they may think is a minor infraction and should be overlooked. Oh, well, that's really no big deal. Why are you upset about that? I didn't even know you was upset. It's been 3 months that I said that. What? Why are you so mad? Or they may not even know that they've injured you. They may not even know that you're upset at them. Did you tell them you're upset? Most of the time we don't. Most of the time we just kind of put down and go on about our way and get mad and keep it in and don't say anything. So if they don't even know that they've upset you, you know, how are you going to be able to start that restitution? How are you able to start this? They could be oblivious to the fact that they even hurt you. They have no idea. But when you're ready to let go and move forward, there are some things that you can do. First, you need to pray. I always say that no matter what, you need to pray first. Pray that God would give you the ability to forgive and move on away from the situation. I'm not saying move on in the fact that, you know, I'll just get over it and move on. I'm just saying when you have bitterness like this in your heart and you have this kind of problem, moving on is basically just doing your day to day. Just doing what you're supposed to do in the Lord. Pray that He'll lead you in a way of forgiving. Lead you in that way. This is the path and I need to know how to do it. That He will keep you and comfort you. Pray that He'll keep you. I mean, listen, guys, I pray every day that the Lord will keep me on the right path. And I still stray. I still have problems. We all do. Then you can start the process of forgiveness. There's no really set method or any way to do this unless you go online and start reading other people's stuff. But next, I would say that you need to engage with them and let them know by your actions that you have forgiven them. Now, this may entail doing some simple acts of kindness, like greeting them warmly from the heart. Make everything, especially from the heart, truthful, right? Really think that you love this person. Or providing a meal when they're sick or not capable. Be there for them. Be there for them in a way that nobody else is there. What exactly is this going to accomplish? Well, it's actually twofold, and this I actually got from one of those websites. It will do two things. Number one, it's going to surprise them, especially if they know you're mad at them. It's going to surprise them because it'll be like, why would he do this? Is the food poison? Did he put something in it? No. But then the other thing is it'll shame them. It'll shame them. Paul talks about heaping coals on their head. They become angry that you're doing good, godly things for them. But eventually, this anger turns into acceptance. Okay, well, he's doing something for me. He really does mean it. Or she really does mean it. So there's this acceptance that comes in that says, well, I accept the fact that they're doing this, and they're doing this because God is leading them to do it. This acceptance eventually leads to forgiveness on their end. Well, you know, this could have started because I did something, and maybe the two of us could get along. And this acceptance turns into, well, maybe I need to start forgiving. Maybe I need to do for them. So they start doing acts of kindness towards you. And then eventually, after some time, you gain a dear brother or a dear sister in Christ that you love dearly and that they love you dearly in return. You start by the forgiveness on your side. You do the acts of kindness. And if they're a true brother or sister in Christ, they will return the favor. True forgiveness isn't rolling over and letting the person do what they're doing without some sort of guidelines. You should always ensure that you're not putting yourself in a position to get used again and again and again and again. You keep a distance. You stay away from that specific situation, right? You keep your distance, but you be sure to do the acts of kindness whenever you can. It's not fair for you to continually put yourself out there to get used or mistreated. You do it all on your terms. And when I say your terms, I don't mean that because you want to, you know, it's not your choice. God told us to do this. But your terms means that when you see this behavior coming up again, that you separate yourself from it so that you're not used in the manner that you were before. So that's what I want to qualify that as your terms. To ensure that they're not taking advantage of your kindness. But that doesn't mean to stop being kind. Be kind. And be engaged as much as possible. Show them that your intentions are real. Show them that, and be real. That's the thing. The hardest part of this is you're not trying to put on a show to make it look as if you want to be like a Christian, so you want to do forgive. You have to want to do this in your heart. If you don't want to do this, then don't. You're not ready. All you're going to do is end up hurting this brother or sister again to create the whole issue to start over again, because it's like, oh, well, you know, he said he was sorry. He said he was going to forgive me. He said that this was, but he's not. You're only going to hurt the situation more. Be ready to be kind. Put it out there. You must forgive them and move forward with your life. There's no freedom in bitterness, guys. There's no freedom in the bitterness of your heart when you keep and hold on to that condemnation of that brother or sister because of a slight towards you, which, by the way, is not much of a slight at all if you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. You know, when man holds himself up to man, he always looks better. But when man holds himself up to Christ, he never, ever will measure up to anything. But that condemnation that holds your heart, you're stuck. You can't do anything. And by forgiving that person and moving on as if they've done nothing wrong, you, in turn, have a burden that's lifted from your shoulders. It's not good for anybody to bear. Nobody should bear that kind of hatred in their heart, that kind of bitterness in their soul. Who really is mad and hurt and upset that what wrong was done? Who's really hurt? You, right? Well, keep in mind that most of the time they don't even know that you've been hurt. They don't even know what they did was wrong. They tend to think that everyone thinks alike, right? You know, how can you be hurt at something that they said or did? How can you be mad at that? It's not anything big. Everybody's like that. We all think the same. Me and Brother Bob think the same, right? No. Nowhere near. Nowhere near. We have different priorities in our lives. We have different things that we focus on. We both love to fish, though. We both love to fish. We both love the Lord. The only one that is truly hurt and held in captivity is you. You're the only one in captivity. They're not held captive. They could care less. Or they don't even know. So you need to learn how to work through it and to move on. Not in the sense of just move on and be done and forget about it, but move forward with your life and not letting this hatred dictate you. I'm not saying that you forget the things that are done to you. We never forget when someone does us wrong. That is almost impossible to forget something. I've got friends that have done things to me that I remember to this day. And I tend to watch for those things to make sure that, you know, what was happening isn't happening again. But the true idea behind forgiveness is to forgive for the purpose of not holding a grudge and always using that one thing that was done to you as a reason not to interact or to have a conversation with, or talk to those that you feel have done you wrong. Holding a grudge is something that we tend to do, and we do it well. It's really simple to hold a grudge. You talk to some guy, and he's like, "Oh no, I don't like that. I don't like Brother So and So." Why not? Well, back whenever we was about 5 years old, you know that's going to be a funny story. Back when he's about 5 years old, wow, you're going to hold that against him? You guys are like 60-something, and you're still holding that against him? When you hold a grudge, all you're doing is holding on to the bitterness. You're holding on to something that we as Christians should tend to let go. We should just let it be. We should want to kick out the bad thoughts and the bad feelings that we have in our life, and we want to replace them with good thoughts and good feelings, and things about our Lord and our Savior. So then, why is it important to forgive someone? First off, I mean, why should we? What do we have to gain from forgiveness? What do they have to gain? Why? Why should I forgive? There are as many reasons to forgive someone as there are not to. So before you go trying to make a list, they're going to end up about the same. As a matter of fact, as we as infinite, you know, we as finite humans probably have a longer list for reasons not to than we do for reasons to do so. But one of the main things that you need to consider about forgiveness is that when you forgive, you're basically saying, I love you. I love you so much that it's as if you did nothing wrong at all. That kind of forgiveness heals a body. And sometimes it can heal a broken friendship, a broken heart. But most of all, it allows you to stop being imprisoned by the bitterness that's in your heart. You get to break free from those chains that are holding you down. Bitterness can tear people apart. Have you ever seen that bitter old man that's walking down the street? You know, he's the one that's walking all by himself, or he's walking, you know, that dog, and he's talking to himself, right? He's always talking about his neighbors. Nothing in the world is appealing to him anymore. Nature doesn't even owe him. He has a notebook at home with a list of all the faults of his neighbors. A long list. It's normally a list of all the wrongs that were done to him by his neighbors. You look at him and you realize that his life is all tied up into this one task of pointing out everyone's faults and making sure that everybody knows that these people have these faults and that they did you wrong. That's his only task. It's petty. And it's pathetic. And we must all realize that we are only one small step from being him. Every one of us are one little small step away from being him. We're only one hurt away from diving into the bitterness that's in our hearts. And I'd like to say that if this is you, If I'm talking to someone and they're seeing this and it's you, please drop the list. Throw it away. Burn it. Stop. Talk to some of your neighbors. Just ask them questions. Talk to people that you consider friends. Open yourself up and be honest to someone so you can have someone to be there for you. You're loved by someone. Talk to them. Let them know you have this issue and that you need help to get away from this judgmental type of attitude. By saying that I love you to those that have wronged us and meaning it, that's the important part, and meaning it. When we open our hearts for healing, when we open our hearts for healing and allowing us to move forward and not be held up in our bitterness, we drop these chains. We're no longer stuck where we're at. It seems there's a cadence call in the military when you're marching. And it's called mark time. It's called mark time. And what that is basically you're moving forward and then it says mark time. And then you just start when they call a mark time march, everyone's marching in place. No one's moving. You're just standing there in formation and you're moving. All you're doing is stepping. That's it. The whole platoon is just stopped and stepping in place. That's all you're doing. And when you have bitterness in your heart, that's where you're at. You're not moving forward. As a Christian, you're always moving. JC said this. I've heard Brother Roy Smith say this. I've heard several brothers say this. Christians are always moving. They're either moving forward or they're falling backwards, but they're moving. They're not going just mark time march. They're not standing in place. But when you tie yourself down with this bitterness, all you're doing is standing in place, doing nothing. But by saying, I love you, and by doing these works, and by doing these things, you're removing those chains so that you can start moving forward. Another reason to forgive a person is because Jesus did that for us. Romans 5:8 says that, but God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, in His infinite wisdom, loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us before anything else. And while we were yet sinners, He died for us on the cross. Brother Bryant this morning talked about this in Matthew 18, 23 through 35. The servant that owed his Lord a great sum of money, and he begged for his Lord's forgiveness. He said, "I'll pay back everything that I owe." And his Lord did what? He forgave him the debt. He let him go. But that servant, when he went back to work, he didn't do the same thing for a fellow servant, did he? He threw that fellow servant in jail, and when his Lord found out about his deeds, he was wroth, he was mad, and he sent him to the tormentors until his debt was paid. That man was the epitome of what America and what the world is right now. We want forgiveness for what we have done, but we're not willing to give forgiveness to others as quickly as we want forgiveness for ourselves. Right? We want a brother or sister to, I've messed up, please forgive me. And you want that forgiveness now. But whenever they do you wrong, you're not willing to give the forgiveness as quick as you want it. You're willing to forgive, but it's going to be on my terms. It's going to be the way I want it. I'm going to forgive you how I want to do it. It's not the way we want them. If we may mess up, we want them to forgive us now. We as Christians are commanded to forgive. We're not given the option to decide if we are to forgive. We forgive and then we work through the issues. This is what Christians, that's what Webster said, it is a Christian duty. Because in the Bible, forgiveness and forgiving people and forgiving us is talked about more than almost more than any other subject. Jesus commanded us to do so in our text. I know it sounds like a big cop-out. It's commanded, so just do it. But if you think about it, Jesus did say in verse 45 of that Matthew 5, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So by following this commandment, we don't just show that we are His, but we realize ourselves that we are His. We do it because we are His. It's not as important for the person to realize that you've forgiven them. That's really not the important part of forgiveness. It's not important that a lot of people try to put emphasis on that. They walk them like, "Well, I forgave you." Of course, 90% of the time, the other person looks at them and goes, "For what? For what? What'd you forgive me for? What'd I do this time?" It's not really important for the other person. It's more important for you. It's way more important for you, actually, to forgive for the sole purpose of being children of the Father. Do this because you are His and His alone. This is a way to prove that. But who are you proving it to? Proving it to you. Have forgiveness in your hearts. It's the one thing that we're commanded to do. Especially if He's a brother. Especially if He's a brother. The Lord's people are a peculiar people. We have faults. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. We're sojourners in the land of the enemies of our God. But we love. But love and forgiveness are Christian traits. And the charity of our faith, as Mr. Jitmu put it, the charity of our faith, our God was the first to practice it. We are the ones that follow in His footsteps to learn to be just like Him. We want to learn to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of forgiveness did He have? He had better forgiveness than I ever will. He had better forgiveness than anybody on the face of this earth ever will. His forgiveness was infinite and beautiful. His forgiveness was salvation. His forgiveness was the salvation of our souls. And while we're here on the face of this earth, even though we are sojourners in the land of the enemies of our God. Even though that's where we are, we're not supposed to hold on to the bitterness. We're not supposed to hold on to the bad things of this world. We're supposed to hold on to the good things. We're supposed to hold on to the things that matter. And holding on to a grudge, holding on to a slight from someone, gripping a hold of that and letting it hold you down, well, that's just not a good way to live a Christian life. That's just not a good way to live at all. There really is no life with that. It's not really a life to in the first place. If you think about it, the man who lives with the bitterness in his heart, the man who lives with nothing but condemnation for others in his heart, well, he's not really living, is he? He's definitely not living for God. And we as Christians are required to live for the Lord. We're required to do for Him. And one of the things that He did was forgive. And one of the things that we need to learn how to do is to forgive. We don't hold on to a grudge for 60 plus years and then finally come to a realization that it wasn't really that big of a deal at all. Because if you think about it, our Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross for forgiving us. What are we willing to do for forgiveness, to forgive them? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the time tonight to spend around Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would be with this church and give us a heart of forgiveness. I pray that You'd be with those that